how are you feeling?
I'm feeling actually right nice.
Right nice. Mm. We're on the eve of battle tonight.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for quite a while. You've probably been quite sick of it. We talked about it last week in the Spookyzode. If you're hearing this episode, it means we probably survived because we uploaded it.
Yeah, there you go.
But for us in real time, as we record, tomorrow we go to our super secret... You may have seen it on our socials and whatnot, but we attended the Haunted Magnolia Hotel in Seguin, Texas.
It's a biggie, y'all.
We're celebrating tonight by watching some of the most famous clips from this place.
Including Zach Bagans.
Zach Bagans! But we're going to celebrate tonight by getting really hyped for it.
Yeah.
Going to have a whole video for you, so tune in for that.
Y'all, I don't know if we told y'all about the booking for this. I was at work one day and Charlie reached out to me and she was like, dude, guess what?
Yeah. Well, we were halfway talking about doing another...
Yeah.
A very haunted location in Texas. Because right now we are still at the level where we're staying at Texas. Yeah. In Texas. And we're talking about another location that I can't wait to go to.
Yep, yep.
However, it was very... It came up on us quick.
Yeah, the scheduling just wasn't working out.
And we were kind of talking back and forth about, we could go on this date and we could do this. And like, you know, trying to put it together. And then my husband, Clark, was, I guess, looking at most haunted places. And he's like, wait. And on all the spooky forums...
This is the one.
People were erupting.
Well, and I didn't put it together, but this place I was aware of...
See, that's my thing with you, because I told you about it. And I was like, dude, the Magnolia. And you were like, I'll look into it. And I was like, the hell was that reaction?
Yeah, I had to put... I had to put some pieces together.
But your next Marco, you were like, do it.
Yeah, it just didn't click. And then I remembered... Hearing about this about a year ago, mm-hmm. that they were renovating the Magnolia and it was going to be open to the public again.
Yeah.
And people were already chomping at the bit.
And even then, it wasn't for overnight stays. Yeah. It was for, they did ghost tours and they did history, almost like a little museum. They'd have, you could come through and look at all the artifacts and stuff. But we booked this the day after they opened it for overnight stays.
And it was already booked up for 2 years.
Yeah.
The day after they opened it, it was booked up for two years.
Save a handful of
days. I think we got, one of the last three dates?
Yeah, absolutely.
And y'all, let's
and they've
clarify.
Since opened it up, I think, for more dates. So if you go and look at it, there are a smattering. But even then, these are selling out so fast.
Yeah, it's like 2 years out. Yeah. Like, the crazy thing is, you guys, is that it's not a hotel in the sense.
No.
To where there are multiple guests.
Mm-mm.
It's just us.
We're the only ones there.
And we are by ourselves. It's self-check-in. It's an Airbnb situation. This haunted fucking hotel. And I'm so beyond terrified. I'm very nervous.
Well, also, they have a policy where no more than four people can stay.
Yeah.
So when we booked, normally we would book ourselves a room for, you know... to do the episode in, but we would tell our parents about it, and like last time,
yeah,
with the
like if y'all want to all get a room too, you
they
can
got a room for them.
Room.
Yeah, they got a room for themselves, and but this time it was like four people max. So it was like me and Clarky, Macy and Hunter. Hunter unfortunately can't get out of
the room.
So he will not be attending.
I am not happy about having to sleep by myself. I don't even care if the beds are basically almost touching.
Macy Marco'd me yesterday and she said, listen, don't make fun of me. And she said, I am not sleeping alone.
I'm not.
Because the thing is it's a it's the size of a B&B probably.
Yeah.
And there's several different rooms.
It's five, it's the top floor, I think.
Top floor, yeah. And... So we don't know. We didn't really know if our rooms are going to be across the house from each other or what. But she's like, I'm not sleeping alone. She's like, can you go and look at the photos and look at the listing and see what the sleeping situation is? And I was like, fortunately, there's connecting rooms. So we can just leave the door open.
I still think since Clark's the atheist, he should sleep by himself. And I'll sleep with you.
Not a bad plan.
He'll be fine.
And you know what? He'd probably get the best sleep of his life.
Probably.
There would be a ghost... yanking him down in the bed and he'd be like get swamp gas or whatever they always say the problem is
swamp gas.
Right now you guys are hearing us talk And there's such innocence in our voice.
I don't know. I'm fucking terrified. I can't explain to you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to go. Do not get me wrong. Mm. But I'm very excited for the drive home on Thursday.
And then also, you just watched listened to our Spookysode from the Screaming Bridge in Arlington.
Yep.
And if you are a Patreon viewer, of course, you can go over to Patreon and watch the video where we plopped our
semi-investigation.
You know, we do hope to obviously kind of stretch those out and get a little more profesh about it. We hope to get better cameras and stuff like that. But
we were also in the middle of nowhere.
I was going to say, we were terrified.
A really abandoned road. And we're like, this is how you die.
We had nobody else with us. Normally, your ghost hunters and your Zach Bagans have a crew. They get a crew with them. Especially in this upcoming one that we're going to record tomorrow. We're going to have, you know, Clarky's going to be there. So we'll at least have some backup.
We'll have an anchor point.
You know. But hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And hopefully for the Patreon viewers, you enjoyed the little clips at the end of our Steak and Shake adventure.
Oh.
Featuring Macy's.
Featuring my dry eyes.
Featuring Macy's dry eyes.
That goddamn eyeliner. I didn't realize until like a week later, I was like, it's that goddamn eyeliner. It always is. And I forget every time.
And just every time the camera is on you, the first thing you would say is, my eyes.
My eyes.
Anyway, so we're not here for Spookysodes today. We're here for our regular non-haunted
scheduled
episode.
Scheduled programming.
Back to your regular scheduled bullshit. Mm. What are we talking about today?
Today. About Four Thieves Vinegar.
Whoa. Wow. I'm glad that you're doing it. I love Four Thieves. I don't love vinegar.
I love vinegar.
I don't just love it. The smell of it gives me, like, anxiety. But I really love the concept of Four Thieves. And I love the ingredients in Four Thieves.
I use Four Thieves a lot.
Well, I use a Four Thieves blend. It's sans vinegar. It was in a carrier oil, but it's a Four Thieves blend that somebody sent through one of the Facebook...
The exchanges
that we had. I forget exactly for which one. I'm so sorry about that. But they sent this lovely little vial of perfume. And it's a kind of a take on Four Thieves. And I wear that almost every day. Like, if I have to go out and I'm not feeling so hot, or I feel like it's sicky season and I'm not, you know, it was, I love it so much. So I'm glad.
Hmm.
Let me wrap that story up. I'm going to be talking about a witch myth today.
I love the witch myth.
A good witch myth. There's lots of them. Today was actually a requested episode when Kim of Clever Kim's Curios sent in a list of requested topics. This was in the batch along with the Black Salt episode.
Oh, so yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to be doing, do witches really have purple doors?
I'm sorry, I heard the way that you asked it, I heard it in Zach Bagans, do witches really have purple doors?
Does this purple door want to throw down? We're going to be talking about the purple door myth with the witch.
Oh.
And I want to tell you that, well, first of all, before we go any further, we have and I think we should kick it old school with the Patreon song that we haven't done in a long time.
Patreon, shout out
segment That was nothing like our old song.
No. Close enough.
Today's episode is dedicated to Julie B. Julie B. Thank you.
Why don't you come on over, Julie B. Oh, Julie B.
Nice.
Thanks.
Nice. Off the top of the crunch.
I love that song.
So thank you very much, Julie B. Mm. Now that one's going to be stuck in my head, much like the Michelle P was.
Yep.
What was Michelle P?
Michelle P! I will do that regularly.
You did it in the Spookysode.
I know.
Like in the background. Yeah. All right. I wanted to tell you about a little journey I went on here recently. I went back and I listened to our first episode ever.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like it's been enough time.
Yeah.
That I kind of not forgot.
Yeah.
But there was enough space between it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I listened to it and I just, it brought a little tiny baby tear to my eye.
A little bitty tiny one.
Not much, because that wouldn't be cool.
Really just a glisten.
Just, if honestly, I was just
misty-eyed.
Just sweaty, really. But it was kind of cool to, it was cool to listen to how much we've learned. Like how we freely talk about things now.
Yeah.
Versus back then, we didn't have the words for certain things.
Yeah.
And we would try to talk around it. Nowadays, we're like, oh, it's a this, it's a that.
Yeah.
It's an incantation or it's a whatever. But back then, we didn't even have the words to explain what we were talking about.
You know, that's something that you don't really think about, but how, I mean, and it sounds silly when you say it like it's practical. Of course, that's the case. But how much knowing the vocabulary changes your communication of
all of this. Absolutely.
Like, hugely so.
Because we would sit down, and of course I don't have an actual example because, you know, that would be too hard. But we would just say, oh, you know, there's this thing I do, and it's X, and it would take 20 minutes to describe. Mm-hmm. But nowadays we would just be like, oh, it's this little protection ritual that I do.
Yeah.
But back then, I think we would have felt like it was too much.
Yeah.
And I don't think we knew how far we were going to go with this.
I think we didn't know how far we were going to go in many ways.
Yeah. A lot of unexpected. It was crazy hearing us talk about some of the people who we did not yet know would be so influential to this.
Oh, yes. Isn't that neat?
Like, at one point, we start talking about Wendy and Bear.
Yeah.
And we, at this point, had one interaction with them.
Yeah.
And it was so cool just hearing us talk about these people. And we're like, y'all don't even know. They're going to be so cool.
You're going to have to deal with this for so much longer than that one time.
It was great. And I'm glad that we no longer sound, hopefully, like a bunch of honking animals.
Yes, that's a good takeaway. I listen to, I'll kick back on the old ones. I don't like, see, I have a problem with the first few because I was so lazy and I didn't take notes for the first few to the point to where I actually want to remember that.
Oh yeah.
I really kind of want to redo them sometimes, like especially like the Sage episode. And I did such a piss poor job of the Cosmic Serpent. It's not even funny. And so now like the way that I take notes, it's like, I almost want to redo that. So I have, it's like episode 1 through 4.5, I'm just off the cuff in it, and it's just like, but
yeah,
why though?
I remember that, and it's we both come to the table with notes so often now that I forgot there was a time that sometimes we would just not. Wow, that feels like a long time.
I know, it feels like a whole different thing.
That would be cool to do after we got maybe another year and a half under our belts to like a revisit to some of the older ones that we did. And you're like, here's let me tell the Mamma mini story.
V2.
And maybe pull, like, Grandma in and get some,
you know. Give it, like, an extra layer of depth.
Have guests.
I know. I'd love that.
So, as I said, this was requested from Clever Kim. And I've been wanting to do this for a while now. I actually remember it sticking out like a sore thumb when she sent that list. I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do that. Because probably a lot, if not most of you, have seen the... and I wish there was a better word for it than meme, of it circulating on Facebook and things like that. On Pinterest, if you just search, like, witch purple door or whatever, 400 renditions of this will come up. And it's usually a picture of a purple door with the saturation turned, like, way up. So it looks very nice and, you know, it's pretty. And it says, a purple door means a witch lives here. It's phrased in a way that would make you believe that it's this old superstition. It comes from a lot of deep legend kind of thing, but after looking to it seems like it's a fairly new correlation that's come up. So I wanted to look up why that is, why it's now being touted as this witch thing to do, and undoubtedly it's been influenced.
Yes, man.
So over on our socials, we posted that wonderful piece of fan art. We had the wonderful Miss Char Adcock draw up some fan art that blew our nips off.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. And it looks like a little record. It's round and it's got the cauldron logo with some beans coming out of it. And it says, it's bean. And
Macy's, which is very smart.
Yes, very. And Macy's throwing her hands up and
obvious success.
Yes, triumphant. And I am pouting my little ass off. And a few people were like, why is Charlie pouting here? And it's like, that's why.
Listen a few episodes more and you'll start to hear it.
Because every time, the way she drew it, it's exactly
it's how I look. It's what your face does.
Just, I get real red and I turn into anime eyes.
And you just breathe out.
I do. And every time I swear to myself that I'm going to get you, so you just wait.
I'm ready. I feel like I'm more happy than you are when you finally get me.
Because I'm not even happy. I'm just like, God, it's about fucking time, Charlie. I just judge myself. So anyway, well, the Purple Door is undoubtedly influenced by really long-standing witchy traditions and ideals. The Purple Door itself is not exactly a bygone tradition. So to understand where this kind of this lore comes from, we need to first understand a little bit about doors and their uses and their meanings within witchcraft. So doors are literal actual gateways, right? And we leave a lot of, we talked about this a little bit before, I think on our floor wash episode, when you were doing Van, we talked about floor washes and the importance of getting your doorways.
That's so funny. I feel like we talk about things all the time that is like synchronicity, but I'm like talking about that today.
We leave a lot of our energy behind in doorways. When you cross from one room into the next, or you leave your house through a door, you're usually doing so with some kind of purpose. Sometimes we all get in those moods where we just randomly walk around our house.
Yeah.
Or you know when you like, I don't know if you ever, like, do you ever just open your fridge door like 400 times in a row?
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, is there anything to eat? Nope. And then you like wait for your...
Yeah, I do that. I just kind of pat around.
You just kind of wait, and you're like, I'll check again.
Something grew, maybe.
In my fridge, probably. I saw someone refer to that. They said that you're just waiting for your standards to lower until something looks good. But we're usually moving from room to room with purpose. And we enter into a room based on the way that we're feeling. So it's this repetitive action of going through doorways with, like, holding on to that intent or repetitive motion in general that can leave an imprint, right? Mm. So it's kind of a little stone tape theory-ish.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Just something happens enough times, it can kind of impact a space or a time frame. So what I mean by this is, even if you're not into energies attaching themselves to a certain area, if you're just looking at it through a living sense or a even a subconscious sense, like every time you walk into your kitchen, you're doing so because you're hungry, and you do that again and again, even if you don't believe that you have imprinted the aura of hunger onto your doorway, you can at least get behind your subconscious, like, being like, okay, this is a sight I've seen before, and I know I usually feed myself when I come into this room. Oh, I'm feeling hungry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I have a little bit of a weird analogy here for it. I know a lot of people have this issue. I do, and I know you do, Mazewad. There's this crazy thing that happens to you as you start getting closer and closer to your home, as you're driving home. The feeling of needing to pee. starts to ramp up at a certain point, right? Mm. Most of the time, it's because, yeah, you gotta go home, you gotta pee. But sometimes the feeling will start to happen because, you know, you'll notice that when you do get home, you go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, I gotta pee. And it's only like a half bladder situation. It's not quite like you needed to go as bad as you thought you did. Because as you start getting closer and closer to your home, you start making those same turns.
Yeah.
You start seeing those same sights, even smells. There's a beer factory close to my house. At certain parts of the day, it churns out different smells. Usually it smells a lot like cereal. It's that malt. Like
kind of weedy.
Yeah. And so when you see these things again and again, and you're like, oh, I know my home is close, I gotta pee. It's kind of that energy that I'm talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you go into a different room, you're leaving this energy behind. And witches believe, many witches believe that the buildup of this energy does have something to do with influencing your moods. So in many cultures and witch practices, doors are imperative to include in your cleansings, as we talked about in the Van Van episode. Whether it's smoke or sound or even just like a mundane physical actual cleaning with Pine Sol or whatever you're going to use, you don't leave the doorways out, much in the same way that you don't leave out your windowsills, because that's where a lot of shit is going to transfer through. In old witch lore and in stories, many times other realms are actually accessed by literal doors. Think about in cartoons and old Disney things. If you go into another, like Alice, I'm thinking Alice in Wonderland in particular. A lot of the times, or the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you're going through an actual access point. You don't just go, I'm going to stand here and be transported. Yeah. There's like an actual doorway that you walk through.
Beetlejuice.
But yes. Beetlejuice.
Draw a door.
She say, I myself am strange and unusual.
I myself am.
If I could just be Lydia Deetz, I would be so happy. I love Lydia Deetz. She's the best.
I do love Lydia Deetz. I don't like her gelled bangs.
I love her gelled bangs. I wouldn't wear them in a practical sense, but I think they're so stylized. I feel like they'd
be so scratchy on my forehead.
They're just Monica Geller bangs. You know, like a good season two where she has those exact things.
Yeah, but they aren't gelled. But it does kill me how they stab her eyes repeatedly. That whole season. I mean, they're in her eyeballs.
They're crawling into her eyes. Oh, shit. Okay. Anyways, so the idea that witches can access other realms by going through literal doors is something that has permeated its way into a lot of cultures. Many witches do enchant their doors in the ways of protection or to signify that you are entering into a place of love or a place of higher conscience, you know, how they want their home to be. I myself actually enchant my front door by using a mixture of cinnamon and salt and things for protection and just like passion in all things that you do. If you're going to do something, you do it well. As Norman Reed's character said in one of the first seasons of The Walking Dead, he had this line where he said, if you're going to do a thing, do it right.
I like that.
And it was so strangely phrased that it's really stuck with me. So it's kind of that energy. If you're going to do a thing, do it right. But the idea is to put up a barrier so that when we go through these doors, we are entering with an altered or an enhanced reality or vibe, lunar vibes. And the energy that the door holds influences the experiences that you will have there. So you can think of it this way. If you placed your favorite picture or decor item or work of art or even a photo of somebody that you loved, like right next to your bed, and when you opened your eyes, it was the very first thing that you saw in the morning, you're going to be in a better mood for like the rest of the day right off the bat because you're seeing something that you love. And for me, it's always when I change my room around.
Yes.
You know? And then for a couple of weeks, you're like, oh, I love that room.
You almost wake up like, oh, this is my room.
Yes, exactly. It's that kind of feeling. And even if it doesn't in itself make you have like the best day ever, you're kicking it off with a good feeling versus something like if you had a picture of your worst fear or somebody who made you angry.
Your worst enemy. That's what you wake up and look at every day.
And if you imagine,
if you're
like,
planning an awesome revenge plot, that's perfect.
That's perfect. You wake up fueled for revenge. But we're laughing, but it's serious. If you woke up every day and you saw that person, for me, if it was a picture of heights, if it was just like a big picture of like looking down from like the Empire State Building or something, I would just want to turn and go back to bed. So in that way, you're entering the awake world with a mood that has been altered by something that you chose to wake up seeing, right? So it's the same with your doorways. The purpose of the purple door is to invoke the energies and the vibrations that purple is associated with into your home, kind of like you're bathing yourself when you walk through it. A little bit of what I think is, you know, when you go into like a big box store, like a Walmart, they have that air curtain, you know?
Why? Why?
Why? What? Which part? I don't know. Everything I did was questionable.
Walmart.
The Walmart. You can't tell me you don't love to put a good airy W.
I do, but it's things. Just so weird with Walmart.
Horn.
You know, a horn. I can't even, but you were so, what made it so funny was when no one, because your teeth, you were like, horn.
I can't. I love to over-enunciate with my mouth. Sometimes just Walmart. Anyway, but you know when you walk into a Walmart and they have that air curtain that just blows your dick off as soon as you walk inside? Yeah. I imagine it being kind of like that. If you paint your door a certain color or you give it a certain charm or energy and you walk through, I just picture you walk through and you're just blown to pieces by that.
Blown to pieces.
By that energy.
You just dematerialize.
You turn into steak meat.
To what?
Steak meat. Cubed steak meat.
I thought you said...
Stank meat.
I thought you said stank meat. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, you know.
Is this what the kids say?
Yes. Stank meat is what the kids are called. I don't even... I quit. You walk in your door and immediately turn into stank meat.
Is that a person?
Some guy named Stank Meat. It's Jim.
It's Jim.
It's Jim. That's Jim's body.
That's his biker name.
It's made of stank meat.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
Ugh. But I get what you're saying.
Okay, thank you. That's all I want.
I do. I understand.
That's all I want in the world. So. Man, that coffee was strong.
I know, dude. I am wide-ass awake.
Are you?
Yes.
Because you're laying prostrate with a blanket.
That's just me, though.
I know. I am kind of wired. I'm ready to watch some Zach Bagans whoop a ghost ass. Can you imagine? He just takes his belt off.
I'm picturing him like standing there and he's got like fighter's tape and he's like wrapping his fucking knuckles.
He would.
Like,
he fucking would.
You see this? Coming for you, motherfucker.
I dare you.
Heard you died 300 years ago. You're about to die again.
Can you imagine if you were a dead soul and you're just hanging out somewhere and this fucking prick just walks in and he's just check. Like, it's like somebody walking into your house.
Into your house. And just wearing fucking affliction.
Accosting
and
you.
And pocket chains.
And a lot of Axe body spray. He's, what's up, bro?
I like to imagine he wears bod.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. That's worse. Do you remember the commercial for that?
I want you. You're bad. And they would like run up and down bleachers.
Yes. And they're not subtle. They spray out a whole Febreze worth.
No, that's
of
what
spray.
We use as our bathroom spray at our house, and nothing's better.
Because it covers
everything.
Everything.
Everything. Ooh. I'm ready.
I can't even. I don't even know how to re-enter the subject.
Just go for it. Okay. Just dive on in.
So the purpose of the Pearl Door. Okay. Whew.
I'm ready.
The purpose of why one would want to paint their door purple, it's to invoke the energies and vibrations that purple is associated with into your home.
You got the third eye going.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, what does the purple mean? What does purple mean is what I meant to say. Purple's element is air, and the air element is very cerebral. Intelligence based and intuitive and third eye and things like that. It is connected to the planet Jupiter, which I don't really know much about.
I don't either.
But I'm assuming it's similar.
A gas giant and it's got a big red spot.
Hmm.
That's a storm.
That's a storm. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And then the crown. The third eye and the crown chakra are both associated with the purple or purple-esque kind of colors. Tied to spirituality and intuition, purple is also used to signify wisdom, royalty, psychic gifts, and magical knowledge. A lot of the times you'll see mages and stuff in purple.
Yeah, purple robes and shit.
And those are all properties that a witch might be interested in holding near and dear to their heart. They might want to infuse their homes with these elements.
Poiple.
Poiple is the color of enlightenment and a cool head. It's long been one of the most spiritual and mysterious colors throughout history. And witches throughout time and culture have known purple to attract all of the things above that I mentioned. And when you think about it, man, what crystal is commonly used for purposes like that? Intuition and dream work and things like that.
Amethyst.
You know, there's an herb that's used in psychic works as well as, again, dream works and things like that.
Lavender.
You got it, man, respectively. Purple runs pretty deep within witch lore, so I thought this was really interesting, but also really fucking persnickety. There's apparently some witches out there who, to this day, refuse to write in any other ink besides purple. And I assume that means for their grimoire and
yeah, okay, that I totally understand. Like,
but if you're just signing a check at Walmart...
Yeah, then it's like, dude, come on.
I need my enlightenment color.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, until I fucked it up in my book, it was all black.
I wrote in blue. You were really mad about
I was very mad. I came so far.
But imagine if you were tied to purple and you like really associated it with all these things and then you went and wrote in blue ink. You would have burnt your book.
I would have been very sad. Just torn those pages right out.
Just ate them. Also in my research, I just wanted to point this out, that just because purple has been long associated with these things that we deem as witchy and have been deemed witchy throughout history, it doesn't mean that witches have always actually been able to use it. So first of all, purple became quite expensive at some point during history. Mm-hmm. And a big reason why is it was difficult to make. Purple fabrics and, mm-hmm. and things like that. It was also difficult to make a very rich and vibrant version of it.
Royal purple.
Yes, your really rich purples. Purples that didn't kind of wash out as like gray purple, but a really hefty, deep purple was super expensive to make and really hard to make and really hard to make well. So it started to be something that only the rich could afford. And we're talking royalty, people who are a lot of clergy, a lot of very important clergy at the time would have purple. And historically, witches have not been among the very wealthy.
Well, and also historically, witches get burned. Yeah. So it's good to not slather your door purple.
Exactly.
To be like, hey, gang, come get me.
Guess what? Guess what I do in here? In some places of the world, places that they didn't just burn you right out, if maybe they had a, like the high magician or even like the medical worker who
like would a turn Rasputin. To.
Exactly. They would turn to, and it was very respected. Or in some places of the world, like you had your head priestess or priest or whatever, they would probably wear purple.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it would still be associated with magic, but your everyday layman on the street is not running around with purple, because guess what? They're not the king or the queen's witch. They're just a witch, and you're going to get murdered for it. The purple door means a witch lives here is actually a pretty recent phenomenon with everything that I saw. It, of course, does come from a long line of dearly held traditions, but it's not an OG, like, deep cut witch tradition or institution, but rather a culmination of beliefs that have come through our customs. But I think it's a good thing. There were people torn about it online. There were some people who were like, well, this is a new thing, so I don't know why anyone's even talking about it. But there were some people online that I saw, and I this is the side I kind of align myself with, is we're in a time and a place where we can kind of accept this secret code and adapt it. And we can't forget about that in many places of the world, you can't really speak freely about this kind of stuff. And there's even places in our own communities where people can't openly practice. But, you know, and that's important to keep in mind. However, in most cases, a lot of us are in a place where we can express our pride as, you know, witches or pagans or spiritualists or whatever. Mm. And we can talk about it to some extent. And the purple door is I saw someone refer to it as a great symbol of solidarity.
Yeah.
And it's a trend that I am all for and I really like. And I think it would be very cool if people did really start to adapt this and make it a modern day symbol that people could take and tie the community together. Because I'm all for community, even if it's just for the sake of letting someone know that they're not alone.
Yeah. Plus, I love a good bold door.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And purple is a color that is hard to fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Unless your roof is purple and your house is purple and your door is purple and your grass is purple. That's like too much purple, almost.
That's the line.
That's the line. Rain is purple. I actually saw somebody with a purple door here just a couple of streets up from where I live. And we're driving up and I saw this purple door. And my first thought was like, a witch lives here. And even me who, you know, like I'm super lucky. We've got this wonderful platform and we can talk open about this and or we can talk openly about this. And we have all these coven members on our Facebook page and all these people that we know. And even that, I got really excited.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like heartwarmed almost. And sure, it could have just been painted that way because the owner likes purple or whatever. But it still gave me this sense of kinship.
Yeah. Community.
And I'm thinking if it did that for me, who's open and has.
Oh, yeah.
We have talks with people every single day about this kind of stuff. If it did it for me, I can't even imagine what it would do.
To someone really in the broom closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just feels like there's no one else here.
Yeah.
Kind of how you and I felt until we hit that first witchy bazaar and we were like, there are
so many people,
many of us. It's a cool idea that it can be used to voice your pride, but it can also be used as helping somebody who's just starting out not feel so alone. So that is the purple door.
I love it.
And I'm actually really thinking about doing it. I think it would be a great idea. And we threw it over to, we threw it over to Patreon where I told everybody that I have glitter in my front door.
I love it. It's so cute.
Because before I even knew what I was doing, I was like, you know what? It'd be cool if we put glitter in the front door. You can't really see it from the street or anything.
No, yeah, but you can see it when you're up close. It's pretty.
I was like, it's just a little present to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this whole purple door thing is. It's a little thing to when you get home, you go, oh. And you're just in a little bit of a better mood. So we threw it over to Patreon to ask about the purple door. And I've got a couple of Patreon thoughts.
Love it.
Patreon thoughts. Xena says, purple is such a comfort color of mine. I have always, ooh, and they spelled color with a U. I know where you're from. I have always had a purple room, and maybe this is why. See, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you just do things and you're not quite really totally sure why. Alex says, I rent, so I don't get to decide this, but I think I'd probably kill a man, a hardworking family man.
What? I see you.
To have a purple door. Purple is the only color that on site gives me a flurry of good emotions, and I tend to cover myself in purple, clothing and whatnot. Man, I love that color.
I do like purple.
And Sika says, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. Sika says, I painted ours red, which means welcoming safe haven for all.
I love a red door.
And our landlords were pissed. So, and that's the thing. It doesn't really have to be purple, I guess. Yeah. I guess that's a color that everyone could agree
just
on.
Just the symbolism of whatever color you want in your door.
Yeah. Something that makes you happy and means something.
I like a good yellow door. I've seen some yellow doors.
Like a really happy, chipper yellow.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to you. Are you listening? Hey, look at me. Look at me.
I'm staring through you.
I'm going to talk to you about vinegar.
Oh, Lord. God, a whole episode just about vinegar.
I could do it.
Vinegar. You can cook fish in it.
Mm-hmm. I love Four Thieves.
Yeah.
I love Four Thieves. I was first introduced to it at Hearth Wisdom, as with many things.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I was called to get it by whoever that spirit guide was that also shifted my besom and also told me about the mint and the whoround and that whole thing. But that's kind of what started it. And I've just really been, I just really enjoy it. I put it in all the little, I put it in the protection tonic.
Sean Connery.
There it is. And that we use on spooky sodes and things like that. We'll be taking it with us tomorrow for sure. Mm. But I just won't tell you about it. Because Four Thieves is kind of an odd thing. Like, you know, it's just kind of, it's an odd name.
Yeah.
It's a vinegar, you know, and it's just, there's kind of, you just, it's like, what are you exactly? So there's a lot of things. So let's talk. So the Four Thieves vinegar got its name during the bubonic or the Black Plague.
Yes.
Around 1772.
Jesus.
In Marseille or Marseille in France. It's also called Marseille vinegar.
Oh, okay.
However, and according to Lucky Mojo.
Oh, our good old friend.
Love them. The original recipe could actually date back to the 15th century.
I believe it.
As a mixture of red wine, vinegar, and garlic cloves.
Mm.
The original purpose really wasn't for the metaphysical. It was for wellness.
Yeah.
Protecting against diseases that were way more deadly at this time than they are now. Yeah. Or just the massive prevalence of plague.
Yeah. God, can you imagine?
No.
Oof.
Yeah. It sucks. So the basis for the use of Four Thieves was also kind of the cause for the imagery that we have for plague doctors.
Oh.
You know, you've seen...
Is that what they kept in the bottom of their...
Sort of. So the same... Basically, in medieval times or the times of the plague, they were starting to kind of put things together. Even if they didn't understand why things worked, they kind of were starting to be like, well, this seems to work. You know, we've seen the pictures of the beak-like masks and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
That the plague doctors had, which I just really fucking love.
A good corvus.
Yeah, and the long black robes and everything like that. So those long beaks had a purpose, and they were full of oils and herbs and spices and things like that that they would breathe through and draw that air up through, and it would pass through all of those goodies, you know, that were in the nose.
All of the goodies.
And their belief was, okay, well, this shit is going to, it's, you know, it's going to, like, kill the plague or whatever, you know, before it gets there. And they would douse their robes in it, things like that.
I mean.
The thought process is there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and honestly, I could even see, I mean, if somebody coughed plague juice all over you, you're probably going to get sick. But just day to day, like, it might have, like, kept some people.
It very well might have.
I mean, even just the thought of basic cleanliness at this time.
It's going to help you, dude. So there are many variations, you know, and some being minor, in the tale as to how Four Thieves got its name. And it can really be boiled down to two different versions, one of which is far more anticlimactic than the other. One of them, when the plague struck in Marseille in 1722, there was a man named Richard Forthave who created a recipe which was heavy in garlic and sold it to the public as a medicinal aid in plague prevention. This concoction was referred to as Four Thieves. And this was twisted over time to Four Thieves. I don't like that story as much as this one.
I like the idea behind it.
But I think it makes the most sense.
I think that the name behind it is what keeps me...
It's two on the nose.
It's a little on the nose.
Here's the second story. And this is the one...
My name is Richard 409.
So the second one is like kind of the more common one. It's the one you'll see if you give it a quick Google as to why it got its name. This is from MotherEarthNews.com, and I'll just read a little excerpt from it. During an outbreak of the plague in Marseille around 1772, four robbers ransacked the sick and dying.
Oh.
These four thieves, even though exposed to the plague, didn't fall sick because they used a medicated vinegar topically.
Hmm.
They were eventually caught, and in exchange for leniency by the court, they shared their prophylactic recipe, which became known as Marseille vinegar, and also Four Thieves vinegar.
Hmm.
The use of protective medicinal vinegar dates back even further to the 14th century bubonic plague. And then is it, I'm sure these opportunistic criminals didn't come up with the bright idea on their own.
Hmm.
Probably not.
I like that better. Just because it has a theatrical element.
Yeah, there's some lore.
I also thought you said prophylactic recipe, and I've been giggling ever since.
I might have.
I don't think you did. I think you said prophylactic?
It is.
You said it properly.
I hope so. So, these thieves were apparently dousing themselves in the medicinal vinegar and then breaking into the houses of plague
just
victims.
Just some wet, sloppy.
Yeah. Stinking.
Stinky boys.
Garlicky, vinegary bastards. And they were breaking in to plague victims' houses, strangling them in their beds.
The bedding of the plague! What are they gonna do?
Well, and that's the thing. They weren't catching the plague. And that's why nobody could figure it out.
They're really pushing it, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, why do you need to strangle them if they have the plague?
They don't.
Like,
they don't.
Just rob them. Everybody. I don't want to say everybody wins in that regard. But like,
ew. Everybody wins. You get to die. I get your shit. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. It's my world. So, and doing so, then, yeah, they'd kill them and loot their house. So the courts paid attention to them because, unlike the rest of the sensible public who seemingly did not want to roll around in plague juice. Mm. They were not afraid of doing that. Mm. And they were willingly exposing themselves to it time and again, and none of them were falling ill with the plague.
That does ring with the confidence of someone who lives in a time where nobody really understands medicine yet. Yes. You know, just put this shit on, you'll be fine. Like, they not knowing, there's still a huge chance you're gonna get sick.
It's like, dude, you very well may die.
I mean, after they got caught and gave the recipe away, I'm willing to bet at least three of them died of the plague.
So, well, they all died. And I'll tell you why. So
they got strangled to death.
It did say, actually, kinda. So it did say that in exchange for leniency, you know, they told their secret in exchange for leniency.
And they were hung anyway.
Well, their original sentence was to be burned at the stake. So instead of that...
Oh, there's more lenience. Like,
you can be hanged instead. So...
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was...
Can you imagine how pissed you would be if they're like, we'll give you leniency, and they're like, well, we're still going to kill you, but we're going to do it in a slightly
better
way.
At least it won't suck so bad.
Yeah, unless you're not heavy enough, and then it'll suck a lot worse.
Oh. So while various recipes of this vinegar concoction has been passed down for centuries, one of the first, perhaps, like actual printed publications done in 1900, published in the Scientific American Cyclopedia of Receipts, Notes, and Queries.
Okay. I love a good title.
And here's the old recipe. Here's what was in it. Mm. So it was Marseille vinegar or Four Thieves vinegar, propylactic vinegar.
Propylactic.
Formulas for this once celebrated preparation is rosemary tops, dried, 4 ounces. Sage flowers, dried, 4 ounces. Lavender flowers, dried, 2 ounces. Rue, fresh, 1 1/2 ounces. Camphor, dissolved in spirit.
Oh.
1 ounce. Garlic, sliced, 1/4 ounce. Cloves, bruised, 1 drum. I don't know. Distilled wine vinegar, strongest, 1 gallon.
Shit. Wait, hold on. These.
The last two are real curveballs.
Hold on. Something ain't adding up here.
Yeah, so I don't know how many cloves are in a drum and what the strongest of the wine vinegar is like.
Okay.
So. Digest for 7 to 8 days instead of brew with occasional agitation. Mm. Pour off the liquor, press the remainder in filtered mixed liquids. It is said that this medicated vinegar was invented by 4 thieves of Marseille who successfully enjoyed it. Oh, employed it. Who successfully employed it as a prophylactic during a visitation of pestilence. Do you still visit?
A visitation of pestilence?
Yeah.
That is, that's beautiful prose.
Yeah. So it's important to point out, a lot of Four Thieves vinegar today, and even back in the day, you could, but a lot today, you could consume. This you cannot because it is chock full of camphor. And camphor, when consumed, will poison your ass.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. But it's...
But digest it for a couple of days.
Yeah, digest it for 7 to 8 days. So it seems like the real superstar here is the garlic.
Yeah.
Garlic's just a whoop-ass machine, man. And these vinegars were full of it at the time.
Garlic is a whoop-ass machine. Macy Frazier 2019.
Oh, I'm known for my eloquence.
I'm known for my... word sauce.
While there were some publications in the 1800s, one which called it a useless concoction.
Ooh, ho!
Big if true.
Shit! Tonight at 11.
But there were scores of people that believed that that shit worked. It's even said that French doctors, it seems like this little battle between French and English plague doctors.
Oh.
Because French doctors... would, like, carry garlic all over their person and consume it and just, like, stuff it in their ears. I have no clue, but they would, like, put it everywhere and roll in it.
I'm down with that.
And they apparently died less than English plague doctors who were like, no.
That's very English. It's just, no.
No, it no. smells. The concoction reached a more mainstream status, no more known, when Donald Gary Young, the founder of Young Living Aromatherapy, the massive multi-level marketing company that put essential oils on the map in the 90s.
All right.
He began researching the story of the Four Thieves vinegar.
Oh. He was like, cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Yeah. As well as, and you know, it's been known for a very long time of, you know, the potency and things like that of essential oils. Mm. But he kind of like took a businessman's approach and was like, these things, you know, good work or whatever.
Yeah.
So he crafted a thieves oil in 1992, and it was for immune system support. It was a smash hit.
Oh.
So the thieves concept, that was thieves oil, but it drew from like the Four Thieves tale. Mm. That kind of put that story and the concept of Four Thieves on the map in a commercial level because it was a huge company. I mean, to me, I'm picturing, you know, kind of like fucking Herbalife or It Works, you know, it just like takes the country by storm. It's a multi-level marketing firm, same thing. So let's roll into the metaphys here.
Ooh.
The metaphys.
I forgot about the metaphys.
Thieves.
Nice.
So, Four Thieves has a pretty hefty presence in hoodoo. A major component of Four Thieves' magical uses is for protection.
Oh, yeah.
Both from illness, as well as malicious harm as the result of enemy magic, bad spirits, ill will. I mean, pretty much the whole bag of all
which is why we use it in our spooky suits.
Oh, yeah. It's in that tonic. Many modern recipes for Four Thieves are safe to consume. Check first.
Oh, yeah.
And it's recommended, you know, some people say a teaspoon a day. It can strengthen your body from within if you're under magical attack.
Shit. Same with garlic, dude, though. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Clove and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, ward off illness. So the lucky mojo of Four Thieves is edible. I looked it up and it comes in a nice little bottle and everything like that.
Their stuff is so cool.
It's so nice.
It's good.
And for other ways of consumption, you know, they said you can even put it in a salad dressing or like, or mix it with a little bit of honey as like a daily tonic kind of thing, you know.
Ooh.
Doesn't that sound like you'd never get sick?
Yes. You'll never die.
Never. Mm. I thought this was great. So it also shines in warding off unwanted entities, both alive and dead. So if you have a relative or an individual that you just want to leave, you can splash some on their tires so they'll never come back.
Whoa!
And like, mind you, I said splash, not slash. Do not do that.
You can slash the tires and then put a little Four Thieves on it.
Just dash some little, not slash, some.
Keep in mind, if you slash their tires, they're going to be staying with you for a longer time.
Yeah, they will have to call a wrecker or something. Like,
I imagine those, like, I'm sure they have a name. Excuse me, I don't know. But in exorcisms and whatnot, they would have those silver balls on, like, a long handle filled with the holy water. And you would, like, do that. Yeah. And it would sprinkle the
holy
water.
That's like what you need to do on the tire.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you just do it directly in their eyes. Go away.
Just leave.
Get out.
I like this a lot. I thought this was really neat and made sense to me. A simple way to use it to banish or kind of like disrupt the negativity in your house, fill cups or bowls of it around the home and let them just evaporate for several days.
Oh,
your house is going to be kind of stinky,
yeah.
But that vapor will just kind of become it'll just kind of take over and banish everything out. If you have animals, don't let them drink that.
Ooh.
I think it will just burn their little buttholes. I don't think that's something they need to eat a lot of. Like,
don't let your cat suck on it.
I use it in my floor wash recipe religiously. It's like one of my founding ingredients in it. So I have my floor wash recipe. If anybody wants to use it.
I do.
And it really worked because after that whole debacle about not doing the floor wash and then getting yelled at by my spirit guide and all that shit, I did this after she told me to and now everybody's happy. And this is also kind of a little, basically this is also what is in our, minus a couple things, protection tonic.
Mm.
So brew a mixture of horehound and mint. Whoa. Herb and make a tea out of those two things. So you just kind of like make a tea out of it. Equal parts. Brew a tea. Make it a good, strong, concentrated tea. And this is kind of the base of your floor wash. And it smells really good, too. It's mint, earthy because of the whorehound, but there's that nice mint in there.
Whorehound.
And if little pieces of mint and whorehound get into the wash, I just leave them. And so to that, add a generous amount of Four Thieves. I want to be able to smell it.
Yeah.
I want to be able to smell that vinegar and all those spices and whatnot in there. Along with that, I add rosemary essential oil, marjoram essential oil, cinnamon. I do love cinnamon in the floor wash. It really just gets a little spice.
Just heats it up.
High John the Conqueror oil.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And if you have like a magical floor wash base that you like to use, like I know you have that gardenia one that you like, and I still have the Love is Law, you can dash that in there as well. You know, there's always witches out there making good shit that's just to add. You know, a floor wash for me is like a stew.
You can just never go wrong. No. You just keep adding things.
You just put shit in there. But if I don't have anything like that, and if I'm really, if I feel like something is in my home and it does not belong there, or if I just feel like my barriers are down, this is the floor wash that I bust out. And it's a major difference when it's done. Major, major, major difference. So don't only, and just like you mentioned, don't only wash the floors. Wash your door frames. Wash your windowsills.
Yeah.
And give them a good, and I'll like leave them dripping.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just like leave it and look, everything just almost messy.
Yeah.
I just love it.
And just let it air dry.
Let it air dry.
Yeah.
And I like to do that. So I like to do a floor wash and do all the sills and the frames. I like to do that before I smudge. Because I feel like, especially with the wash and everything, I'm just like knocking everything loose and airborne. And then it's all like not stuck to anything anymore. Yeah. And I smudge it out.
I get it.
Because I feel like if it's all stuck to the floors and stuck in the door frames and shit, it's not going to go anywhere if I smudge. It's like hanging on to it like grease.
That's interesting. I do it the opposite way, but for the same reason.
I love it. Huh. Okay. Y'all tell us what you like to do.
What? How do you like to wash? So tell us your wash routine.
What is your house hygiene?
Send pics.
So that is all I have on Four Thieves.
Interesting. I liked it.
You're welcome.
I haven't done a good floor wash in a while.
It's coming up time for me. Yeah. It's about that time.
Yeah. I think a good fall cleaning is in order.
That's what I'm waiting on. Yeah. I'm waiting on the first day that it's like 70 degrees and I can open up all the windows. Yeah. To me, that's, I do one in spring and I do one in fall and I do others, but those are the biggies.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a week's worth of work. And I'm going to work all week on warding the house against winter blues. And I'm going to really try to do better this year.
Yeah.
And prepare.
Yeah. Even though this has felt like the eternal summer. And it just won't go.
I feel like it's flown by.
Really?
Yeah, it's just gone.
Every time I look up the weather and I see that we're actually hitting under three digits.
Yeah.
I'm like, the end is in sight.
The end is nigh.
But it has felt like just such a long, long summer. That being said, I've actually kind of enjoyed myself this time. The heat withstanding, you know, but I feel like it wasn't that bad. I feel like there were other factors that led to my kind of crappy mood that comes along in the summertime, but it wasn't all based on like reverse seasonal depressive disorder. Yeah. Like, so it was actually pretty cool to feel like what you're doing is helping. Mm. And I know we talked about this a little bit last year around this time that we were like, it's so cool, we're gonna be able to prevent and guard against our individual seasons that we feel bummed out about. However, we didn't really have a whole lot of the experience at hand. And now I think that we're getting to a place where we have that experience, you know? So this year, it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens in that regard.
Yeah, this is my first winter as a full year of being like a practicing witch.
And I remember last year, we were just getting into it when it was kind of rolling around to the colder seasons.
Well, and I'm growing a bunch of herbs and shit right now, and I want to make some good tinctures.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make, you know, some shit to put up and have.
Yeah.
Like fire cider. That was somebody put, I couldn't remember the name of it. I would love to make that, have it ready for when I'm feeling down. Take a shot of that. Yeah. And be like, you're going to live.
You'll be fine. Get on. You know what it's time for?
What?
It's time to roll that beautiful review footage.
Bean time.
Bean time. It's
some bean time. It's tenacious bean time.
You motherfucker, go! all right. So this is from Prozac, please. I feel that. I feel that so hard. And this is entitled, I Found My Coven.
Oh.
And here's what this review says, and I love it so much. It says, soothing.
Oh.
And educational. Full stop.
To the point.
I love it. Short, sweet. I love the name
and
Prozac.
And one of those words I find very surprising.
Soothing.
Soothing.
I tried to put on my best soothing voice and can't quite muster it because I want to keep laughing. Being like, really? Us?
We're soothing?
Was this for the Witch Pajamas?
When every other review talks about us screaming.
Yeah, every other review is like, I love how shitty y'all are at everything. And this one's like, soothing and educational.
I'm proud.
I'm proud of both of those terms, honestly.
I am too.
We are only at this point, like, what, 2 weeks away from our live recording at the Pagan.
That makes me want to throw up.
And in addition to us having a live recording, you guys, we're going to have a booth there.
Both.
So is the likes of Marrow and Moss.
Yeah.
And Red Milk Crone. And at our booth, we're going to have some handcrafted items made by your girls.
Yeah. What are we gonna have? All kinds of cool shit.
Let's drop some knowledge. If you guys are thinking about coming out to the Pagan Pop-Up in Denton, Texas on the 13th of October.
Yes.
First of all, please do. Sorry if it's a drive.
Yeah.
But we would love to see you there.
But we will be there.
We'll be there.
Say hello.
And we're there for high fives and for, you know, saying hi. I'm going to have a handmade soap that I make with my mother and was so cutely named by my husband. I Put a Smell on You.
He's so funny.
So I'll have my I Put a Smell on You soap that is going to be catered to the Winter Witch. What do you got?
What do you get? I'm going to be making, and y'all, I have hand ground all of these, so there's some serious elbow grease.
There's some sweat.
Yeah, but I am, with a mortar and pestle, hand grinding these incense, and they're for meditation, and I used them, and it was real intense. I actually, like, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, I actually kind of projected a little bit and controlled myself.
Did you freak out?
I didn't freak out.
Oh, shit!
I didn't, like, all the way leave my body. I, like, sat up out of my body, so my legs were still in my body.
Could you feel, like, a disconnect? Like
I did. Well, that was what was so weird, dude. So I'd burned a fuck pile of this incense on a disc, and I was meditating, and I sat up, but I didn't sit up. And I, like, in my sat up astral self, I touched my leg, but I felt my leg get touched in my normal self. And so I was like testing it and my astral body was like touching different parts of my leg and I could feel different parts of my leg being touched. It was super weird.
It was just Jim.
It's his chilly finger.
His chilly finger creeping into the window.
Tapping on my leg. but it's a meditation incense made from Ceylon cinnamon, star anise, clove,
yes,
and mugwort. All ground together.
Some other proprietary secret ingredients.
Yeah, some goods.
Yeah.
And it's all ground up real fluffy and nice.
Yeah, we were together down at the Secret Mountain Farm. And I remember you added a couple things to it that made it a very peat-like consistency.
Yeah, it is. It's like peat.
Yeah.
I'm making that. I'm going to be bringing some Healer's Hollow straight from the home. Cedar bundles.
Hell yeah.
Sustainably harvest.
Yes.
I asked all the trees permission.
Yes.
They gave it.
Oh, yeah. And there is so much cedar out.
There's a lot of cedar. And that's the thing. There's so many cedar trees. You can't even tell I took any because I'd be like, I'll take two or three from you.
Yeah.
And I'll take a few from you. And everybody's fine.
And I was recently looking into sustainability. And of course, I think everybody starts off using a lot of the same things.
Yeah. It's just what you learn, you know.
And then you get a little deeper into it and you're like, oh, maybe we're going to run out of Palo Santo soon.
Yeah.
So I saw that for this area in particular, in the East Texas area, cedar is a wonderfully replenishable item.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's cool. If you're interested, if you're looking to maybe replace what you got going on, we're going to have some of that cedar.
Well, and I'm excited to use it this winter. I'm excited to, you know, cleanse with cedar. Because I'm using something from my magical trees. Mm. And I feel like it will even add to that. So like when I'm all sad this winter and I go through and cleanse my house, yeah. I'm burning my cedar. And it's from, you know, my little friends.
Yeah.
And it'll be, I'm ready for that.
And they'll be like, why are you burning me?
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever bundle you get, it's going to be magic. And probably going to have some jars of tea.
That's right. Are we talking about the name?
All right. Here's the thing, you guys.
Oh, my.
I want to, it's copyright today, so fuck off if you want it. But it might already, you know, I got to check
it. We got to look. See if it's out there.
But I want to call it Don't Worry, Be Happy. Oh, and yeah. I think it's adorable. And it is a tea concoction. Really, I kind of want to say, just kind of for women's health. I guess you can say women typically have bladder issues. Yeah. Not all the time, but like...
urinary tract health in general.
You know, yeah. I mean, we've all had it to where you had a few beers the night before and your bladder hurts the next day and you're like, fuck, I might have an infection coming on or shit like that. It is made of all of the things that will... help nip that in the bud before it gets bad.
It's quite a tasty tea.
It's a tasty tea and it's a massively healthy antioxidant full tea. I drink it every day.
Yeah.
And it keeps the kidney infections at bay.
Have some of this tea. It keeps the infections at bay.
It will save your kidney.
Just one.
Just one. Yeah, 50%.
The other one. But just the one.
You'll live.
I'm going to have also a handcrafted candle, each topped with its own little amethyst crystal that we went and picked out.
Dressed.
And they will be made for and blessed for the intention of contacting ancestors. It's also going to be in the Winter Witch line, so it'll have a very similar scent to the soap, the I Put a Smell on You. And the last thing is I'm going to make an anointing oil.
Yeah, ma'am.
This one kind of came to me in a moment of... meditation almost, and I was really thinking about what to do, and it's almost as if an ancestor itself reached out and like put it on a piece of paper and was like, here's the recipe, come on, here you go. But it's for the intention of connecting with the ancestors. It's very herby. It includes a lot of the things that not only are known to reach out and call to the ancestors themselves, but it's things that I use in my own practice, and you can consecrate tools with it, and even yourself and your altar and things like that. So I think we've got like a real good spread.
We're going to have a good bunch of shit. We have the world's most beautiful and chonkiest amethyst.
If you want to come see...
if you want to take it home with you.
The chonkiest amethyst in Texas. And another thing that's very exciting, we're going to be having our limited... only at the Pagan Pop-Up version 2, only limited edition, all the words. We're going to have our t-shirt.
Yeah, our print. Our real-time screen print going
brought
on.
To you by Pint Services Screen Printing. They will also be screen printing other teas for other people there and other booths. I believe Marrow and Moss will have
we
one.
We got our badass Marrow and Moss shirts at the last Pagan Hell Pop-Up through them, and they're beautiful.
And they have all kinds of t-shirt types, colors, sizes, and you just pick it, and they'll screen print it for you, and we're going to have our very own design, limited run only. So if you're interested, come out and see that. If you're interested in sending us an email, pop one over to wbhpodcast@gmail.com.
We'll check it.
If you want Insta Jim to touch your body in a bathtub, where can you go?
Touch my body.
Touch my body.
That's what he would say. I feel like you turn the corner and he's just sitting there. Nom, 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 touch my body.
I'm just trying to unwind. Where can you let him slither through your window at?
Oh, you,
Jim is my favorite character on this show, by the way.
You can wash Jim's hair and put Jim in your hour.
Please use sulfate free. Chunks of it will come out otherwise. We have one Twitter where we one tweet at.
Bitch hour.
Jim really took the vibrato out of that for me. come eat with us over on Facebook at...
Witch.
Amateur. No bitch on Facebook.
No bitch on Facebook.
If you're interested in supporting the podcast, we do have a Patreon. That is patreon.com/WBAH podcast. Hell yeah. We also have the cutest, sweetest, sugar-coated, sugar-slimed P.O. box in Tejas with the googly eyes.
I feel like one of them's starting to slide down the box, though, a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like we lost one a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Jim's just...
Jim's just licking the slime off the P.O. box.
Keeping it clean. Mm-hmm. But it's still the cutest little P.O. box in Texas. And that is P.O. Box 865. Canton, Texas. 75103. I'm dead inside.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think you understand what Jim does to me.
He is kind of your worst nightmare, honestly.
He's just...
just unclean.
Falling apart. Always wants to touch you.
Yeah, I feel like he is. Or one of those that stands too close when he talks to you.
He's a close talker.
Yeah, he's a close talker.
He's a close talker where he doesn't quite get the hint when you lean away.
And I feel like he would be one to do an H-E-W, so he's like, well, I was walking yesterday.
What do we have here? I feel like he just has Peter Lewis's voice.
He sounds like Peter Lewis.
All right, so that's our show, dudes. Bye,
that's
beans.
All we have for you. Bye, beans.
We're going to go. We're going to go eat East Rolls. Bring in that sexy music. Just that. It's the War of the Worlds. Or
that noise makes me want to crawl in a hole and cry.
I hate it so much. It scares me. That's the actual noise I think the end of the world's going to sound like.
I think so, too. I don't like it. And every time I do it on the interstate, I hate it, too. Like, you know, when you get on the fucking rumble strip thing.
Oh, yeah. I thought, are you just hearing the sound?
Every time
on
I
the
hear
interstate?
The aliens, yeah. It's on the interstate. I hate it.
Goodbye. Who can say?